Good afternoon, folks. This is Maurice Cerrone from Ahenny Man's Haven. We're transmitting in the Ahenny Man's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. It's good to be with you this fine Sunday afternoon. Many of you folks have probably been outside. It's wonderful temperatures. Humidity seems to be in tow. It's not too high, not too low. Everything is great. You may want to put on a little sweater if you're out, depending on what your blood circulation level is, and so on and so forth. A far cry, so to speak, from the 100-plus degrees that we've had recently with high humidity levels. It's good to be with you. Ahenny Man's Haven is a retail store that has many building products available, along with a complete design capability with a computer-assisted design criteria to take whatever cabinets that we have in our store, convert the design into your dreams for whatever it may be in your location, such as the garages, the family room, the media room, library, laundry area, utility rooms, kitchens, bathrooms, libraries, etc. We can do it all, folks, when it comes to that capability. Our Tucson location is at 1724 South 6th Avenue. We're six blocks south of 22nd Street. We're the big yellow building on the west side of the street. Parking is available on the north side of the building as well as the south side of the building. Our phone number on location is 520-624-7200. Our hours of operation are Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And at time periods, we can assist in many other type of items that may be necessary to ensure that your project is working appropriately. As an example, we were out there Saturday at 6 o'clock in the morning offloading a truck of cabinets. It was a very extensive load in this case. Took us some 3 hours to load, about twice the length of time it normally takes for some of our truckloads. That's a 53-footer packed full of cabinets from that standpoint. We also have a Green Valley location. It's at the northern end of Green Valley on the west side of I-19. You exit the Duval Mine Road and then weave your way to the southwest. And you come upon 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103 Alpha. For those of you who are familiar with Green Valley, if you've had a wonderful lunch, dinner, or so at Manuel's Mexican Food Restaurant, you walk out the front door, keep walking, and you'll walk right into the area where our little showroom is. The phone number in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. Hours of operation are approximately from 8:30 in the morning to 4:30 in the afternoon, Monday through Friday. They are closed for various other activities that may occur due to the construction projects that we have in tow in the Green Valley area. So come on down to see us. Give us a phone call. Whatever questions you may have. And speaking of phone calls, if you'd like to enter into the conversation today, we surely invite you to accomplish that. The phone number to become live on the air is 520-790-2040. That's 590-790-2040. On behalf of all those that voted for Ahenny Man's Haven in the Reader's Choice Award entrance period, we thank you very much for that opportunity of selecting us as the leader in the Tucson, Arizona Daily Star metropolitan area for the best cabinets and countertop. We also were too much surprised. We placed in the favorites in the best hardware store. We do have an extensive line of hardware, as well as the best remodeling store. And remodeling, we can get involved in all sorts of remodeling. We have lots of experience in that category, as well as lots of people that will provide us with the information needed to the various aspects, from our vendors all the way through to contractors that have done many, many different types of projects. A great resource for us, a great asset for the customers that come in. A little bit about cabinet modifications, of which I discuss every week. A lot of them are, hopefully, are very informative to each of you that may have some desires, but you have never figured out or have ever contacted anybody on how to accomplish what's taken place. So months ago, we got involved with a major project that was going on, and they did have some unique features in that project itself. And one of them was, it's rather interesting, maybe a little hard to understand, but we took an 18-inch wide drawer bank, which is 24 inches deep, and we converted that drawer bank into, which is normally a four-drawer system. So we converted that drawer bank into two, mind you, two 15-inch talls instead of 34 and a half inches tall. So 15-inch talls, two drawers, in order to establish a nice type of counter or applique for whatever the customers are deciding. So that was very interesting. It took a lot of work in order to accomplish that. There is a top on the top of the 15-inch tall cabinetry. So it's a very wonderful two-drawer system that's 15 inches tall and 24 and a half inches from front to back. So that demonstrates just a little of our capability in modifying kitchen cabinets. The second thing that we're working on for a customer is the customer wants to place a refrigerator, an under-counter refrigerator, and a microwave into a pantry cabinet. And since pantry cabinets generally do not have drawers on the bottom, they requested two drawers underneath the refrigerator platform. So, as you know, refrigerator cabinets are not very tall that go under the counter. From that standpoint, they're not very wide normally, nor are they very deep. So it fits well within a 24-inch pantry, as we would call it. That's a good 84 inches tall. The bottom area of the pantry is what lends itself to accomplish that, and there's about 70 inches of vertical space that's uninterrupted for you to treat it as a broom closet, a hanging closet, or a storage of food particles, or pots and pans, or glasses, or bowls, whatever you'd like to do. So that area itself basically now presently is going to house a refrigerator on top of two drawers. On top of the refrigerator, there'll be another shelf that'll hold a microwave, and then above the microwave, there'll be another shelf attached to that that will be able to store various things that the customer would like to store. Then on top of all that, you have a separate compartment that's about 22, 23 inches high, 24 inches deep, 24 inches wide, less left or right, in order to store other things that you would like to store in the pantry or broom closet, as we call it, etc. So quite challenging nature, but we had to produce several of these for the project that was involved with that. And we did have a contractor that came in that is working a project. It was rather interesting in certain aspects because the contractor is out of Phoenix, Arizona. And when he got through explaining the entire project to us and how we had been interfacing with it in the past, he told us that it looked like we really had our ideas together. Now, he used another little four-letter word in order to be more explanatory in that, which I will prohibit from discussing on the air. But he was really impressed with the capability that our company has and the designers that he's working with and how the project could flow so easily. So we're in a project of working with him. We're very thankful that he came to our property when he realized we have the capability of accomplishing all that type of activity. So, folks, looks like we've completed the first segment of our program here, which we got three more seconds to go. We're transmitting on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio. Our production engineer is John Couch, and so John is getting ready to play some music and take it away, and we'll see you after the break, folks. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven Radio Studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. If you'd like to enter the conversation on some of the topics that we're talking about, or you have something you'd like to share with us in the remodeling, construction, or whatever activities that you're involved with, please give us a call here at the studio at 520-790-2040. In the short order, that's 520-790-2040. I'd like to talk a little bit about countertops. We're recognized, as I mentioned earlier, as having the best countertops in the Arizona Daily Star Reader's Choice Award. We do work with all sorts of countertop material, except for tiles and stainless steel. We can recommend you to various people if you would like to proceed with those two types of countertops. Other than that, we do all other sorts of countertops. We can do any natural stone. We can do several companies of laminate. The most common name that we know about is Formica from the 1900s. Those people who were around at that time period are very familiar with that, since that was the mainstay of countertops for years, as it still is presently today. Natural stones, there are several parts of natural stones available. Quartzes is a new engineered countertop that is absolutely excellent. Unfortunately, it does cost a little bit more money, but as we normally say, if you want the quality, many times you have to pay a little bit more money for the quality. So laminate countertops is one of our main fortes. We can offer to anybody who walks through the front doors a 10 feet of laminate countertop, which has an integrated coved backsplash, for $90. That's $9 a linear foot. It's a much lower price than any other countertop that you'll be able to purchase, much lower than tile, much lower than any natural stone, quartz, granite, soapstone, travertine, marble, et cetera, et cetera. Again, that's 10 feet for $90, $9 a linear foot. We have many colors that are available. It's a matte finish type countertop. All straight cuts are free. So if you happen to have a galley kitchen or a double galley kitchen, or you're doing a bathroom area or maybe a craft room or whatever it may happen to be, where the only thing that you need are straight cuts, you can come down as an example, and if you want to buy 10 feet of countertop and cut it into 1 foot areas, all those cuts are free. We can get that done rather rapidly for you, and you can be on your way. Many times that we have complex corners to deal with. Seems like every home has an L-shaped kitchen has complex corners. Instead of them being 90 degrees, they may be 89, they may be 88, or they may be 102, whatever it happens to be. But the miter cuts at 45 degrees normally goes in those corners, and that we can accomplish for you, as well as doing the finishing of the ends so you can protect them from any damage that may occur. There is an upcharge for those types of operations, but that surely does keep the cost of laminate countertop, even when those other items I just mentioned are employed, at a very, very low cost for you. That amounts to, if you want to do a comparison basis between natural stone and quartz are normally sold on a square foot basis, that our granite at our store starts at about $45 per square foot. But a laminate countertop in what I just described to you at $9 per linear foot amounts to about $4 per square foot. Compare that to $45 for beginning granite. And when you get involved with quartz, they'll start about $60, $65 all the way up to $100 plus. A little bit difference in the pricing between laminate and the other stone countertops is that the laminate is a do-it-yourself. You install it yourself, or you hire a contractor to do it on your own accord. But when it comes to the natural stone or the quartz countertops, that price that I just quoted you includes the measuring and templating of it, verification of the estimate that we've set up for you, as well as a full installation of the countertop. It includes all cutouts that are required, such as a bar sink, a cooktop, a kitchen sink, or a bathroom sink, whichever sink holes, wherever you plan on using that. However, there's no plumbing disconnecting or no plumbing hooking up or appliances removal from that standpoint. So that does become part of the cost factor that's associated with the customer involved. So keep that in mind from that standpoint. Another provision we provide on laminate countertops is that if you do have an L-shaped kitchen and you have a 45-degree miter in the corner, we can basically eliminate that entire miter for you, and we develop what we call a seamless countertop. Yes, we are limited by material construction, but a seamless countertop would be that we eliminate the splices, which are cut-throughs, or the 45-degree miters, which are also a cut-through from that standpoint, eliminating the expansion-contraction problems that occur as a result of material moving and shifting on a daily basis. So keep that in mind as some of the capabilities at A Handyman's Haven, and presently we'll get involved with some other activities here, which will be options for funding your next home improvement project. Anytime we get involved with remodeling, as an example, there's always a cost factor involved as well as a time factor involved. A lot of times customers come in, and it may be no fault to their own, but they may get excited, especially around the holiday period which is coming up. They want a complete remodeling done before Thanksgiving because they got guests coming, and that would entail a monumental project from that standpoint, and there's hardly a contractor today that could be available to accomplish that. And one needs to be very careful. The other aspect of it is the funding. You know, where is all the money going to be coming from? There are several avenues of funding available. You may have your own personal cash, so to speak. You may have been saving money for these projects. You may have some idea of what it costs in order to get it accomplished. Then you may have some idea as to the time period involved. What's basically happening today in the time period is that almost every contractor is so busy that they could be 2, 3, 4 weeks, maybe 2 months out, and they even, in fact, may not even be able to get to it until 2020. I do know in the past, somebody wanted to have a countertop accomplished. I called a contractor in order to get this countertop made for them, and this was in October, which is approaching here shortly. And they said they're not taking any projects until after March of the following year. That's really quite a ways away, and that shows you even how the fabricators as well as the contractors can be so deeply involved in what's taking place in today's environment. So funding is also a problem. It's nice if you have your funding available ahead of time, sort of like getting yourself pre-approved to buy a home. Therefore, when you go in, you're in to purchase a home, you're in a good negotiating price because you know how much money you have available to purchase your home, and that gives you a tremendous leg up on many, many other people that do not have that. But one of the methods is called cash-out financing. So with cash-out financing, a person begins the mortgage process of remortgaging the home with the intention of paying off the current mortgage, and that's the big key in this case. Is paying off your current mortgage balance and then taking out additional funds for other purposes. So when you cash out financing, it is a way to tap into the home's existing equity. And I'd venture to say that almost every home in the Tucson area today has equity that is not being used. And there's nothing wrong with holding on to that equity. That gives you a really good positive position in your cash area. And so keep that in mind. But with existing equity, you can provide cash for your improvements and other expenses that you may incur upon. And one of them that I read about was if you're into funding a college education for your students, that you can assist in that college education. Another is a home equity line of credit. And there's There's two things attached to that, and that's a little bit different than a home equity loan. We were faced with this not too long ago when a customer asked us if we could use a special credit card in a home equity line of credit. And I basically had no idea what they were talking about. But through many phone calls and resources that we have available, there are credit card companies that will set up a home equity line of credit. This is a predetermined amount of money that's available on a credit card. It could be $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, or whatever it may happen to be. And then various retailers or entities or contractors, whatever it may happen to be, are authorized by this company, the credit card company. It just happened to be the one that we were discussing at the present time period with the customer, is authorized to sell their product under the home equity line of credit. So that was very interesting. I got really excited about hearing about this project, but the customer wanted to know if we were acceptable into that system. Well, come to find out that we could be acceptable into the position, but being that we're not sanctioned by the company who authorizes the credit card under those terms, the credit card automatically reverts to another credit card source, and then you go back under the referral credit card source, and the customer themselves are not getting the percentage of interest attached to the home line of credit. They would get the interest that would be associated with the standard purchase under the other credit card. So that is something to be aware of when you have one of those types of cards, that make sure that the retailer you're involved with will accept the card, of which all of them can, except they may not be sanctioned by the company that authorizes your card. So the other thing I mentioned a little bit earlier, but I'm going to sort of whet your appetite, we're completing the second segment of our show on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk, and we'll see you after the break, folks. Here we are, folks, back at the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice Cerrone from Ahenny Man's Haven. We're transmitting on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk. Our Tucson location is at 1724 South 6th Avenue. Our phone number is 520-624-7200. Our Green Valley location is at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103A is in Alpha. Phone number on location in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. On a previous segment, we were talking about funding your remodeling projects. We got involved with the equity line of funding. We talked about the line of credit card that's available. The other one that I'm very familiar with is a home equity loan. The home equity loan is the difference between the equity that you have in your home or your balance of your mortgage payment and what your house will be appraised at. And that's always an interesting project, is when appraiser steps on a property and starts appraising your home, and they may or may not know all the intricacies of your home itself. I did have this happen some time ago, that the appraiser had no idea what the amenities and the intricacies of my personal home was. Just to be very blunt about it all, when it was all said and done, I called the bank and I told him, you better fire that individual because he doesn't know what he's talking about in analyzing the home. And needless to say, I went to another bank and got the appropriate appraiser that I needed, or the appropriate appraisal that I needed in order to get a home equity loan. So the difference between your mortgage and the difference between your home line of or your equity in your home is where your home equity loan is. They may go the full value, they may go a percentage, and the interest rate will be a little bit different. So basically speaking, you have a second mortgage on your home where you're using your home as collateral. The other is obtaining a personal loan. That's going in with an unsecured type operation. You're not using your home, your automobile, your motorcycles, your boats, or whatever else you may happen to be. And getting a personal loan in order to do your project. They may want to establish a lien on your home from that standpoint, which is appropriate. Liens on contracting and remodeling is quite regularly accomplished through the Arizona State lien operation in order to protect the people that are going to loan the money to you. There's a personal line of credit. This in itself is an unsecured loan. The rate's different drastically from that standpoint. And it also gives the person the maximum amount of money that is available or is ideal for the ongoing purchases that they may require. Probably one of the lowest methods of securing credit to do a project is to use credit cards. Unless you pay the credit card off monthly and bypass any of the interest charged if you go over to the second month, you could be paying an extremely high rate. I do know a while back that one of the credit cards all of a sudden decided to jump their rate, and it went from something like 11 or 12% all the way above 30. And needless to say, that credit card was no longer in my holster, and I've never picked it up again from that standpoint. So one needs to be extremely aware. And also, which I became aware of in one of our customers, he said he's going to use a credit card in order to purchase the project that he's working on, but he says he's going to energize the credit card for the purchase one day after the shutoff period is when they start logging in the purchases that you've made periodically. And I thought, how interesting that is. He waits that one day, then he charges whatever he's going to charge on it. Then it's another 30 days before he gets his bill, and then he has almost another 15 or 30 days to pay it. So he gets about 45 days or so, maybe a little bit more, depending upon your credit card, of free interest, and then he pays it off automatically from that standpoint. So there's lots of ways, folks, that you can use various means of financing that can be to your benefit, and keep that in mind when you're trying to do projects or purchase whatever it may happen to be. One suggestion, this article indicates that if you're looking for financing on next improvements or whatever it may happen to be, a good idea sometimes to speak to your financial advisor. Don't forget to shop around for the best types of funding, and make sure you ask all the lead questions associated with what you'd like to accomplish. All that is very, very important from that standpoint. One of the next items I'm going to talk about, let me refer you folks again. Please give us a call if you'd like to talk about anything that's going forward that you would like to share with us from that standpoint. And we'll try to discuss it on the air and give you all the appropriate information that would be valid to you from that standpoint. When we talk about remodeling or of various aspects of doing the do-it-yourself or items or activities around the house, one may wonder what is the amount of time it will take to change that out. And I can share one experience with you that I thought was pretty interesting. This article talks about the theoretical aspect of these things, but sometimes there are certain things that occur and one doesn't have any control over it. And I remember that I was trying to change a faucet in my home for a kitchen sink arrangement. Actually, I wasn't trying to change the faucet. I just wanted to put the new washers in order to terminate the leakage. And so I started on this. This was on a Sunday. I thought it would be an easy operation. I had all the washers available and everything. It was a Delta system, which is pretty easy to accomplish. And I was leaving the next day to go on a business trip, and so I did have to get the project done on that day. So as I started into the project, I started changing the washers on it. Then also I noted that the faucet was loose in its anchoring points. So I tried to tighten up the anchoring points, only to find out that the big washer that holds the It's a big U-shaped slotted washer that holds the faucet in position. Was not holding the faucet in position. So I removed it to take a look at it and had rusted out over the period of time due to the leakage. And needless to say, I could bend the U-shaped washer back and forth, which is absolutely useless. I tried to attach it and get it to work, and it wouldn't work at all. So I drove around town to various locations as well as making some phone calls trying to find this big U-shaped washer. Of course, as it happens on a Sunday, nobody had it in stock. None of the hardware stores, none of any appliance stores, nowhere did they have it. So I finally had to go down to one of the stores that are available that had kitchen faucets and buy a brand new kitchen faucet. So 8 hours later, $80 later, brand new faucet, I finally got it finished so the house could be equipped to have a kitchen faucet work in the kitchen sink. However, interesting to think about this, in looking at this article that I've located, it talks about installing a new faucet, and it says it should take half to a full day. So I was right on target. I'd never known that in the past, but I was right on target. So 8 hours is a little bit less than half a day being 12 hours. So I was even under the initial one is saying it should take a half a day. Folks, sometimes you never know how difficult something is going to be when it's such an easy project. Changing out the washers in a Delta faucet system probably should take no more than an hour at max. Maybe the longest period of time was to make sure you get all the water shut off everything works fine. So this article talks about the flapper valve in your toilet. If you have a toilet that leaks, change in a flapper valve. One thing I do suggest is that just don't go down and think you know what flapper valve you need to buy and only to find out that it's the wrong flapper valve. The plunger can also be part of it. So fortunately, one day I took a picture of a new fangled toilet that we had set up in the home because I thought the flapper valve looked a little strange and went down to a plumbing supply house and he says, oh yeah, that's an American standard 1.6 gallon tank flapper valve. And I says, what do you mean by that? And he says, well, every flapper valve is different today. So a good thing that I took a picture of it because trying to describe this in person would have been to no avail. So it takes changing out a flapper valve, they suggest about 1 hour from that standpoint. And that's probably about right. Do turn off your water. Make sure that the valve is working appropriately from that standpoint. Changing the supply hoses on all your toilets. That could be a rather interesting project, too. There's many types of hoses available. There are the steel ones that are flex steel. There's plastic ones, the flex plastic, and et cetera. It suggests that it could take upwards of 2 hours. The main shutoff of the water does not need to be accomplished from your main meter, but there are valves underneath each toilet in a sink that hopefully if they work properly, you'll be able to turn them off from that standpoint. Let's say you want to redo the backsplash of your kitchen or your kitchen sink area or your bathroom area. In that case, you may have removal of the existing backsplash. You're going to have to buy materials. And this project does not talk about the time it may take to go out and purchase the materials, bring it home, get the application mechanism such as construction glue or thin set or whatever it may happen to be. You can also get vertical thin set to hang tile, which is a good thing if you don't know that that's available in order to accomplish that. That in itself, in changing out your backsplash, you better plan a little bit more time from that standpoint, and it could take upwards of 2 days in order to accomplish all that. Tear out, maybe fixing up where the tear out has damaged some of the counter or the wall structure, whether it be a plastered wall or whether it be a drywall system, keep that in mind. Painting, everybody thinks painting's pretty easy. Well, the prep work for painting is so extensive that you may think about what you have to do. How much do you have to move, cover up, what type of paint you're going to use, drive to the paint store, get the paint, and are you going to use rollers? Or are you going to use spray? There's so many application methods available. Or I guess if you really want to get it done, you may want to hire a contractor to do it also. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from our break. We'll see you after John takes us away. We're transmitting on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice from A Handyman's Haven, and we're transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. If you'd like to enter into the conversation today, please give us a call here on 520-790-2040. Let us know what's going on, or if you have any questions, we'll try to answer them for you. So we're talking a little bit about painting a small bedroom. Now, this is not a large bedroom, but this is a small bedroom. Maybe small bedrooms sometimes are harder to paint than large bedrooms because there's less floor space attached to it. I found out this past week in talking to a friend of mine who is a professional painter that there are 6 base coats of paint that are available in the United States. So 6 different manufacturers of base coating, as well as 6 types of base coats. So when you go into a paint store, of which there are several of them around that you can buy gallons of paint, they're obviously priced at various price levels. And one may think, well, I don't want to spend on the expensive one. I want to keep this low cost. But in the quality of paint and the base coats, the price of the gallon of base coat is going to be indicative of the quality of the base coat. The lower price base coat is going to be a cheap, and I don't mean cheap in price, but it's also going to be less costly, and it's going to be a cheap base coat. If you want a better, more durable, a stronger base coat, you need to pay a little bit more money for that, since there's about 6 different categories of base coats. And the paint distribution salespeople will let you know what the most prominent base coat paint is from that standpoint. Color doesn't make any difference because every base coat can be changed to the color that you desire. Some may require a different recipe, and that may be important. Hopefully, the paint distribution company you use will put the recipe of the paint on the can for you, and don't forget to daub it at the top, or he should do that, or he or she, that's so you have the color that you're looking for. So keep that in mind when you're out buying paint. Any of the major distributions of paint companies will be able to provide you with the array of different quality of base coats that's available. So one thing that you want to do when you think about painting is make sure that you mask off, so to speak. Use masking tape. There are special paint masking tape that is used, which will tear anything apart that's underneath it. But anything that you do not want to paint with the new color, make sure that it is protected from being painted. And another example about painting that's very important, if you buy 2 or 3 gallons of paint, when you get home, make sure you have a nice 5-gallon bucket in that case, which is only going to hold 5 gallons of paint. But pour all 3 cans into the 5-gallon bucket. That way, because they've mixed the special color for you, if one color happens to have an extra drop of paint versus the others, or 2 or 3 extra drops, therefore you're going to ensure that the painting that you're going to be accomplishing is going to have identically all the same color by virtue of mixing it all together in a large enough bucket to hold that. If you don't do that, you may very well see shadows on your walls, and you're going to try to figure out what caused that shadow. That shadow may very well be a result of painting from each gallon of paint by itself instead of mixing it together. Just remember that each gallon of paint is really not going to be the same hue. And when I talk about hue, it's not the person's name in that case. It's HUE, which is Hotel Uniform Echo, which is the change in colors. Just go online and try to figure out how many different colors of hues there are. And most of the time when we're picking colors, we've got upwards of 1,000 different colors in order to pick from. Just drop into your paint store and they'll show you the big paint chart. They may have 50 or 60 tabs, and on it is 10 colors of paint, and that's at least 600 different hues right there of paint. So keep that in mind when you're painting from that standpoint. Obviously, water-based paint is much easier to clean up than any oil-based paint. Another thing about paint that's rather interesting, if you want a hard surface, go for the glossy color. If you want a soft surface, go for the flat or the latex color. Paint that's called latex is water cleanable. Paint that is not water cleanable will probably be labeled as oil-based paint. Oil-based paint does require paint thinner of some sort or mineral spirits in order to clean your brushes or hoses, etc. Methods of applying paint are always important. Power rollers are really good. Spray is faster, and brushes that's the longest and the more tedious portions of painting. I will say this, that your first job will probably be the toughest and the longest. And after that, this article says you'll be considered an expert in painting. Believe me, when you get through painting, you may feel like you are an expert. The other thing to consider is that the walls are going to take most of the beating throughout the time period. And so from that standpoint, if the ceiling is in good order, stay away from painting the ceiling. And that'll keep things nice and clean because less paint will drop all over the place. And when you try to walk on a slick surface such as a plastic covering, you could slip right on the paint, and hopefully you don't hurt yourself as a result of doing that. So lots of projects going on, lots of things when you talk about painting yourself. One of the other things talk about, and you hear about this quite frequently, is does your project really need a building permit? Do-it-yourselfers, a lot of times are authorized to do many things in their projects because they do own the home and they are in charge of it from that standpoint. So building permits may or may not be necessary depending upon who's doing the project and who's going to be responsible for the outcome. So if you're turning a carport into a garage, it seems like it could be a very, very easy job. So you just put up the walls. The garage door is the front of it. You may not change that out. You may put up a wall between the garage door and where you're enclosing it in. But the thing to remember is that all the other things that occur in the home, the garage may not be substantially supported or supporting properly of what may take place. Also, you may not install the proper electrical outlets that are required to operate. And the garage probably should also, because it's a living area in that type of activity, you should have the smoke detectors, carbon detectors, and et cetera, the security systems. You may have a door that comes in. Most people do leave the garage door up. And one thing that I've always thought is that when you do decide to close into the garage, there are some other things that may be that you ought to think about. And one is that if you don't do it properly and maybe spend a little bit more money, your garage modification into part of your home may look like just that, that you did your garage modification and that's what it looks like. It may not even blend in with the rest of the house because you didn't do it appropriately in order to try to save a couple bucks here and there. When people come in to buy a home that has a garage conversion into a bedroom or a guest house, a guest room or whatever it may happen to be, I surely would think that any type of remodeling that you accomplish, you should try to make the home look as if it has never been remodeled, especially on the outside. Another thing could be is like doing a roof over the patio. Most people attach the roof over the patio, as an example, to the eaves of a roof line, and that's probably the weakest part of your roof structure itself. So think about that when you're trying to hang the rafters for your patio. that the fascia boards, as we call it, may not be tightly attached to the rafters of the home. You may want to think about some good Simpson connectors in order to ensure that that's done appropriately. Turning patios into a livable space like a bedroom or a family room, that could raise the level of the floor. I'm going to get back to carports and garages at the present time. I know that the initial home that I purchased, the carport had originally been turned into a family room, and then they built a brand new carport. So I didn't give much consideration to the family room itself, but after starting installing a few things, I found out that the family room had a slope from the back of the back of the family room, which would be the back of the carport, to the front of the family room where the garage door or the drive-in entrance was. And it was a 3-inch slope in about 20 feet. Very, very unusual. You got a couple choices at that standpoint. The other thing I recognized right from the beginning, that there was a step down from the main portion of the house into the carport. And that step down is required when you have a garage and a carport to prevent fire and liquids from rolling into the home in case there is a fire in that type of an area. Well, folks, we're coming up to the end of the program. It's been good to be with you. We have an outstanding program coming up after ours. It's called The Prather Point with Jeff Prather. I'm sure he has some outstanding information about what's taking place in the news media these days. So give it a whirl, spend time, grab yourself a cup of coffee, and come on back and listen to Jeff Prather on The Prather Point. See you next week, folks.